Thank you for joining us for this lesson from God's Word. The West Huntsville Church of Christ is located at 1303 Evangel Drive, Huntsville, Alabama, 35816. It can be reached by phone at area code 256-837-8730. Anytime you're in the Huntsville area, we would love to have you join us for worship or Bible study. Worship service is held every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, with Bible study immediately following at 10:15. Evening services begin at 5. Midweek Bible study is held Wednesday night at 7. Now, we hope you enjoy this lesson from God's Word brought to us by Glenn Colley.
Let's begin our reading in Matthew chapter 6, in the words of my Lord, beginning in verse 5. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. In other words, whatever joy they get from that sort of facade, well, that's all they're going to get for that, because God isn't going to bless them for that. But you, when you pray, go to your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, don't use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask Him. In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Now, here's what I'd like to do. I want to start a series of sermons this very morning. And we're going to do this pretty much through the month of December. I want to take each clause of the model prayer and make a sermon out of it. There's so much. It's as if Jesus took the fewest possible words and compressed them into this remarkable class on prayer. Now, Jesus wasn't praying this prayer. In Luke chapter 11, you can read it again, and Luke records that the disciples asked Jesus, would you teach us to pray like John taught his disciples to pray? And then he says, our Father, pray this way, pray like this. And he was giving them a class on prayer. Truth be told, a Christian couldn't really pray this prayer today, because some of it would not be applicable to us. It wouldn't be right to pray all of this prayer today. And we're going to talk some more about that as this series goes on. But today I want to start with the first couple of words. Our Father, which art in heaven. When I was a boy, my parents taught me some very basic things about God. It didn't take long before you understood some very fundamental principles about Him. I mean, we knew that He was powerful, that He had miraculous power, that He was infinitely creative and infinitely resourceful. And Romans chapter 1 and verse 20 says, the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. And I learned that God made this world. And we learned something else too as children, that God was going to be the judge of all the world. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13, the Bible says He's going to judge the works of men in the judgment. But as I grew into a man, grew older, and I think this is even true now, that we steadily begin to appreciate that God is not just the Creator and not just the judge, but that He is our Father. Now, for the next few minutes, let's consider God as our Father. See, I hope you don't think that this is too trivial a way to say this, but I'm going to say it. We're kin to Him. When you think about God, I want you to think about the fact that He is our Father and consider that we are kin. Now, here's what James says in James chapter 3 and verse 9. Now, he's not talking about God in particular. Actually, he's talking about our tongues and the misuse of our tongues and what we say that we shouldn't and so forth. He said, you know, with your tongue, you bless God, and therewith, with the same tongue, you curse men. Now watch this. Who are made after the similitude of God. Isn't that interesting? In other words, it's inconsistent. It doesn't make any sense that you would curse God or bless God and then curse man, because man is made after the similitude or the image of God. Genesis 1 and 26, God the Father said to Jesus, his Son, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. Now let me tell you something. A person who rejects the Bible account of creation and how we came about and prefers an evolutionary concept, a transmutation of the species, and he rejects the truth of God about our origins. He doesn't have any comfort in this, because he believes that we're made in the image of some lower animals. But I'm going to tell you something. The psalmist says in Psalm chapter 8 and verse 5 that he made us a little lower than the angels, crowned with glory and honor. You know what that says is that we're kin. See, we're created by him in the image of God and in his likeness. I think that's fascinating. And so in Luke chapter 3 and verse 38, he says, and this is the genealogy of Jesus going backwards. And he says that there was Enos and Seth. Seth was the son of Enos, and then Adam, who was the son of God. What's that? We're kin. The human race is made in the image of God. We're made in his image. In Acts chapter 17, beginning in 28, Paul says to those people who are idolatrous, he says, it doesn't make any sense for you to be worshiping these idols. Even your own poets say, and incidentally, we can trace back and find the poet who said this, we are the offspring of God. If we're the offspring of God, if for as much as we understand that we're the offspring of God, we shouldn't think of the Godhead as being gold or silver or stone. In other words, if you are in his likeness, if you are kin to God, why would you think that God was a rock or made out of some metal? It doesn't make any sense. You and I are in the likeness of God in the sense of Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 8 and 9. And he says, we had fathers of our flesh which corrected us and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection to the Father of spirits? You and I have eternal souls. God is a spirit, John 4 and 24. He's a spirit, and we, the essence of who you are, is your soul. Now, I am his child by virtue of creation, but I am his child by virtue of the gospel also. It doesn't make any sense that you and I would be created in the image of God, that we would be in his likeness, in the similitude of God. It makes no sense that we are his offspring, and yet we wouldn't obey him. And John chapter 3 and verse 3 and then verse 5 says, if you're not born again, Jesus said it, if you're not born again, you can't enter the kingdom of God. You've got to be born again. Born again. Yes, yes. See, I was born physically by creation in the image of God. But the fact of the matter is, I'm not an animal. Like, I mean by that, I have an eternal soul. When the animals die, they cease to exist. But I won't, and you won't. We have an eternal soul which is going to exist forever and ever in a place of bliss or a place of torment. And for that reason, I've got to be born again, born of water and the Spirit. I am, in a very unique way, child of God. When we bow our heads to pray, we pray this way. The followers of Jesus Christ pray this way. Our Father. Now, when I say Father, what comes to your mind? What kinds of characteristics come to your mind? I pity people who grew up without a good father, because I think this becomes rather challenging for them to grasp what it means that God is our Father. Oh, we can do it, of course. I just think it's easier if you grew up with a good father. I happen to have had a good father. What kind of characteristics come into your mind when I talk about father, when I use the word father? Number one, a good father is one who sacrifices for his children. Now, a man who is a father will do anything necessary to put bread in the mouths of his children. You know that's true, and all through his life he'll sacrifice for his children. You don't have to go very far to equate that human principle to the fact that God is our Father. John 8:32, the Bible says that he spared not his own son, but he delivered him up for us all. And he'll freely with him give us all things because he sacrifices for us. And how do you explain that? And then the answer is, had there been any other way to save man from his sins, of course God would have done it, but that was the only way. The only way. Let me tell you something about your Father. In Luke chapter 12 and verse 7, the Bible says that he knows you so intimately that he knows the number of hairs on your head. He's your Father. He loves you. And the first thing about a father is that he sacrifices for his children. Now here's the second thing. A father loves his children all the same. It's not so uncommon, really, if you think about it, that husbands and wives come up one day and they have this little grin and they say, we're going to have a baby. And it was an unplanned pregnancy. And sometimes quite unintentional, I mean, because they have the number of children they had hoped to have, and now they're going to have another one. And sometimes you're apt to hear somebody say, I don't know how we're going to make enough money to put food in the mouth of this one. But what you won't find among normal people is a statement like this. I don't know if we got enough love. I don't know if we have the capacity to love another baby. My papa had 8 children, raised them during the Depression, and he had a 4th grade education. Loved them all the same. 8.6 billion people in the world right now, that's what I'm told. How many of them does God love? You listen to me. We're talking about creatures who were created in His image. I'm telling you, He knows the name of every one of them. I'm telling you that there are 8.6 billion, I'm told, on the planet right now, but there are billions more than that in the world beyond ours, who have already taken their turn living on this sphere called the earth, and they've gone on to the other side. Many more that are on the other side than exist on this side now. And God knows all of their names too. And I tell you something else. If all of those people living on the earth right now, all of those created in the image and the similitude of God, were to pray to Him at one time, He would listen to all of their prayers with interest, assuming that they prayed in accordance to His will. I know that's not going to happen. I know that. And Proverbs 28 and verse 9 says, if a man turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination. And I know that most people aren't going to pray to Him in accordance to His will. I know that. But what I'm telling you is that He loves everybody on this planet. He loves everyone. When you and I have prayed to Him this morning, and we did that, and Brother Andrews led us in prayer, I had these prayers, and Tom led us in prayer. God heard those prayers, but He hears the prayers of Enrique and Danielle and Jose and Jorge in Argentina and Winiger and Valeri and Saltavka and Alexevka in Ukraine. When they pray, don't you know that God hears their prayers just like He does our prayers? And don't you know that Christians are praying all over this world right now? And don't you know that God is listening to those prayers because, like a father, He loves all of His children the same? Number three, a father disciplines his children. Go to Walmart, and you know, it's not so terribly uncommon in the news to hear about somebody who's been arrested because they were spanking their children. Now, I'm opposed to child abuse, but I'm really in favor of spanking children when they need it. And sometimes somebody will call the authorities, you know, this daddy, this mama was spanking the misbehaving child. I sort of think they ought to call and arrest the ones who don't spank the misbehaving children. I don't reckon that's going to happen. My father always believed, I mean, I really think that he felt that the word daddy was synonymous with the spanker. You know, he believed in it. Keep your string in Matthew 6 and jump over to Hebrews chapter 12 with me. I'm saying that this is true, characteristic of our Heavenly Father. This passage is the key text for that. Verse 5, don't forget it, he says. Oh, you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. He's talking about the same thing that I'm discussing this morning, that we are in the image of God. We are the children of God, kin to Him. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you're rebuked by Him. For whom the Lord loves, He chastens and scourges every son whom He receives. Discipline. He's talking about disciplining us. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you're without chastisement, of which all have become partakers, then you're illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we've had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them reverence or respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as it seemed best to them, but He for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present. Every kid who ever got a spanking believes that. But painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Now, it's another sermon to talk about the different ways in which God disciplines His children today. I mean, I think He does it through gospel preaching to reprove, rebuke, and exhort. And He does it through what we call sometimes church discipline, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and various different ways. One of the ways He disciplines us, I'm convinced, is by allowing us to suffer the things that are commonly characteristic to the human race. So 1 Corinthians 10 and 13. There's no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not permit you to be tempted above that you are able. And sometimes, I guess we should be ashamed of ourselves when we think of it this way, that the trials of my life are part of this picture of a Father who chastens or disciplines His children. And I think about Joseph in the Old Testament and all that he went through, and he maintained that faith. You think about Abraham and in Acts chapter 4 and verse 20, and the Bible says about Abraham that he didn't stagger. He kept his faith. I want to be like that. I need to be like that. And I have a Father who disciplines me according to what is right, always for my profit. And sometimes what that means is that I'm going to suffer and struggle in this life. Number 4. He's a Father in the sense that He sometimes refuses us. Now, when I was writing this point, I thought back to when I was in 6th grade and 7th and 8th. I know that what I'm about to tell you is going to be painful for you as it is for me. That was a time when mini bikes were popular. Now, a mini bike, and you may not be familiar with that, but it's actually a little mini motorcycle for kids. It had knobby tires and a lawnmower engine. And when I was in 6th grade, I mean, they really were it. And all of the most popular boys in school had mini bikes, and my father would not let me have one. I mean, never did. I really wanted one. And I tell you something else, too. He had the money to buy it. He could have done it if he wanted to, but he never would. And those guys who had them were so cool. Oh, they were cool. Coolest boys in school. I mean, you could pick them out. They were the ones who got to, you know, use those crutches, and you could sign their casts. And that was, I mean, it was impressive. But not me, boy. Now, my father never would let me have one. You ever pray to God, to your Father in heaven, and really, really want something bad? I'm not talking about trivia like a motorcycle. I'm talking about something real, really important. And the answer was no. How old you reckon you'll get before you won't be a juvenile in the mind of God? I'm 85 years old. Fine, you're a kid. Surely in the mind of the Ancient of Days. And a father's like that. I was teasing about the mini bike. I know why my father didn't get me a mini bike. He knew that I would do myself physical harm. I didn't realize it. but I do now. And surely there are things that I pray for to my Heavenly Father, and He refuses me. And sometimes I don't understand it, because I know that He has the resources. I know that it wouldn't be so hard for God to do what I'm asking if he would just do it. But I'm here to tell you that we'd mess it up. I'm telling you, we would. We'd mess it up if we could manipulate and control God. And you're not alone. If you've ever prayed for something and God has refused you in that which for which you've prayed, I'm telling you, you're not alone. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the Apostle Paul writes, and he says, I have this thorn of the flesh, and I petitioned God to relieve me from this 3 times. And his response was, my grace is sufficient for you. You're a little bit like the Apostle Paul, I suppose. But that's not the greatest example. The greatest example is Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 7. And it's about my Savior. It's about my Lord. When He was in the flesh, that He lifted up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears to Him that was able to save Him from death. And He heard Him in that He feared. How could God say no to that? But of course, you know the answer to that question, don't you? For if God had another way by which He could save mankind, surely He would have done it. But there was no other way. It had to be done this way. It had to be the sacrifice of the only begotten Son of God. And had this not occurred, of course, the sins of the world would have damned the whole world forever and ever. Amen. You understand? Sometimes God refuses those who are His children. Number 5, He always remembers His children. That's how daddies are. Now, I'm 51 years old, and you know there are some things that I am that are occurring with me as this age thing continues, and one of them is this forgetful thing. And so Mrs. Colley says, "Will you take this to the church building on your way today?" Now, there's only one way that's going to happen. I say, "Sure, dear, I'll be happy to do it." But there's only one way that's going to happen, and that is that if right then, as soon as she tells me, I walk right to that thing and pick it up and I set it in front of the door so that I have to trip over it to get outside. That's the only way I'm going to remember it. Otherwise, it just slips right out of my mind. But I tell you something. I'm not that way about my children. Man never forgets his babies. They're inside of me. I don't forget my children. So I think about all the billions of people on this earth. And I pray to Him as my Father. And I think in these ways about being His offspring and in the similitude of God. And I am in His image. And I am His child through our Savior Jesus Christ. I am His child. And yet so many people. And it's that. Does He really remember me? And so the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 1 and 12 said this. I know whom I have believed. And am persuaded that He is able to keep that which He has committed unto me against that day. He won't forget me. There's great comfort in that, isn't there? He's not going to forget me. And don't you love Romans 8 and 28? And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to His purpose. You say, well, you mean God's going to make it all come out if I'll serve Him? That all things are ultimately going to come out for my good. That's exactly what that's about. You say, how does He do that? And may I gently respond, it's none of your business. Your business is to trust Him. Your business is to be faithful to Him and love Him because He's your Father. Your business is to pray to Him and thank Him. Your business is to stay close to Him and recognize the fact that we are His kin. We are His people. We're the sheep of His pasture. Number 6, and here's the last one. He protects us. I don't know all about this, but I do know that in a father, there's a natural, a father who hasn't left God so far that he doesn't have his brain anymore. There's a natural affection that a father has for his family, his children. We're not like the women, we're men. And a man is the shell, for the protective shell of his family. That's instinctive. Nobody taught you that. You just knew it instinctively. We men are the protective shell of our people. We're going to protect those children. If somebody's going to do them harm, they're going to have to come through us first. That's just how it is. How does God our Father protect us? 1 Corinthians 10 and 13. There's no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. That is to say that we're going to suffer the maladies, the challenges of being part of the human race. But now look at the next verse, or the next part of the verse. But God is faithful, who will not permit you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation make also a way of escape. I love that. In John chapter 10, why Jesus said, now, these people have eternal life and no man can pluck them out of my hand. Now I understand the fact that I can leave him and be lost. 1 Chronicles 28 and verse 9 says that, you know, it's David's advice to Solomon. And David said to Solomon, if you seek him, God, you will be found in him. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. I understand that. But for those of us who are walking in the light of Jesus Christ, who are striving to be faithful Christians, you know what? We're going to glory. We're going to go to heaven. And you know why? Because he protects us. Because he's our Father. When Jesus taught his disciples to pray, he said, I want you to pray after this manner. I want you to pray, our Father, which art in heaven. 1 John 3 and 1 says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called his children. And today, I want you to let that soak into your soul how blessed we are, how great he is. And he and we are kin. I wonder if there's someone here this morning who is in the image of God but hasn't obeyed God, who is the child of God in the creation sense, but not in the sense that will save his soul, not in the spiritual sense, the sense of the gospel. It is this reason, it is for this purpose that Jesus came to this world. And I want to say that the gospel message is open and the invitation is open. And is there someone here who's ready to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, to be born again? You can. Repent of your sins and confess his name. I believe that Jesus is God's Son. And today, this very morning, we'll baptize you into Christ. If you are a member of the body but you need the prayers of the Christians, it's time to come back home again and be right with your Father. We'd be happy to pray with you and for you. If we can help you, now would be a great time. Come as we stand and sing.
We hope you have enjoyed this lesson from God's Word, brought to you by the West Huntsville Church of Christ. If you would like to continue your study of God's Word with a Bible correspondence course, please contact the church office at area code 256-837-8730.